In the dateless past, a civil war took place in heaven. Some of God's angels rebelled, and a great darkness began. Satan and his forces were cast to the earth, where to this day they're at war with the people of God, always seeking to destroy what God is building. Through divination, demons seek to lure people into their trap. Today, Satan's methods and our best defense. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. Now, listen to a sobering message about knowledge from the dark side.
Knowledge from the dark side. Part of our series entitled The Invisible World. People have always tried to bypass God, to find an alternative to the Almighty. And the reason for that is not hard to grasp, because when you deal with God, you've got all these issues of sin and humility and submission, and people don't want that, but they'd like to have some benefits that God might not be giving them unless they are willing to submit. And so in ancient Babylon, as today, what you have is the occult. That word occult means hidden. People are seeking for hidden knowledge. The way in which most people get into the occult is through divination. Divination means that they are trying to find some hidden knowledge, usually about themselves, that is going to help them along life's way, and if not, then at least in making decisions that they might have some guidance and maybe even manipulate the things that supposedly are to come to pass. So you have people today who are into divination of one kind or another. You have such things as Ouija boards, you have horoscopes. By the way, people read those. Perhaps some of you do and not know that they are entirely can be shown to be based on lies. You aren't necessarily born under one star, and the formula to work things out is ancient, and it is outdated. But people read it anyway in the delusion of their own minds. And you have tarot cards and all other ways that you're trying to connect and to get knowledge. But there's something else that people seek from the occult, and that is power. When I was preparing this message this week, it dawned on me that I can't cover all of these issues in one message. So I'm going to be preaching another message in this series, and it is going to be power from the dark side, because there's more in this subject than I can possibly take care of today. So people do it, number one, because they want knowledge. They do it because, number two, they want power. And number three, they want to connect with something that is greater than they are, and bypassing the whole issue of sin and who they are, and that's why people like Eckhart Tolle are so very famous and popular, because it's another way to get into the occult and to bypass God. And what does he think of it? As kind of a template, I'd like to read a very famous passage from the book of Deuteronomy, where God says this to the people of his day as they are entering into the land. When you come into the land that your Lord God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a wizard or a necromancer. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out from before you, that is, the pagans of the day, and you shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you are about to dispossess listen to fortune tellers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. All occult knowledge is forbidden and carries within itself its own severe judgment. Wow. Well, today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that is very unique. It is a passage of Scripture that I could describe, actually, as being bizarre. You read it and you say, did this really happen? Well, just because it's bizarre does not mean that it's not true. I believe with all of my heart that what we're going to look at today actually happened. But we have to find out why, and as far as we are able, discern what is going on in the passage. The Bible is our guide, and we turn today to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 28. Now, just in case you forgot your Bible today, you bring your Bible to church every single Sunday, but today you walked away and you forgot it. Well, if that's you, in the chair that is ahead of you, there in the seat ahead of you, you can turn to page 250 and you can find it there. You have to see this for yourself. We're going to just be reading this story, and I'm going to be making comments as we go along. Then we're going to interpret it. We're going to learn the lessons. Then we're going to move on to something else. And as I mentioned, we shall indeed continue this next time. The story is King Saul, who is really a psychologist's, a gold mine. A man with incredible ability. Many privileges have been given to him. Taller than everybody else, handsome, strong, used by God, and still a man who refused to surrender everything to the Almighty. Very interesting man. And so the chapter of 1 Samuel chapter 28 opens, and it says that Samuel died. I'm in verse 3. And all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put all the mediums and the necromancers out of the land, and he was supposed to do that because God says in the Old Testament that these people should not be allowed to practice. In fact, in Old Testament times, before this dispensation, things were so dealt with physically. We don't do these things today for reasons that I cannot get into, but witches were actually to be put to death. We don't know how Saul got them all out of the land, but he says no witch is to be in the land. And apparently they disappeared in accordance with Saul's instructions. But now things are going badly in battle. And Saul inquires of the Lord. He does the right thing. It says in verse 6, and when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him either by dreams or by Urim. That has to do with the priests and their ability to discern the will of God, or by prophets, which are ways in which Saul had connected with God previously. God was saying, Saul, I'm entirely silent. Thank you very much. He's inquiring, God, what shall I do? But he hears not a word from God. Later on, I'm going to show you a passage that says that that's why Saul died, is that he inquired not of the Lord. And you may say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. Here it says that he did inquire of the Lord. Yes, he did. But what he didn't do is to humble himself, to simply say, God, whatever it is that you show me, I'm willing to deal with it. Earlier, God had said, I'm taking the kingdom away from you and I'm giving it to somebody else, namely to David. What should Saul have done at that point? He should have said, God, the kingdom is yours. You give it to whomsoever you will. If you want me to step down and no longer be the king, God, I submit to your authority. Is that what he did? No, he hung on until his knuckles turned white. 10 long years, Saul refused to give up the kingdom. It was as if it was his and not God's. By the way, that's the way David differed. David had his great sins too. But David said, oh God, do as seems good in your sight. Saul never said those words. So he hangs on and he manipulates. He's going to keep the kingdom. And now Saul is in a hard place because the Philistines are amassing against him, and he's desperate. And what does he say to his servants? He says, find a medium. God isn't talking. Verse 7, Saul said to his servants, seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said, behold, there is a medium at Endor. This is known as the law of the grand exception. I put out all of the mediums in the land. You can't see any medium, but when I'm desperate, I can. Our politicians often do that. Religious leaders have been known to do that, to say about other people, you can't do A, B, C, D, and then it comes out that they've been doing the very thing that they condemned in the lives of others. And this is Saul now in a moment of desperation. So now what we read is this. He disguises himself, put on other garments, and he went, and they came to the woman by night and said, divine for me by a spirit and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you. The woman said to him, surely you know what Saul has done. Saul, of course, is disguised. So she says, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death? But Saul swears to her by the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Can you imagine the duplicity? He uses the name of God to swear in God's name that no harm will come to her, using God whenever it's convenient, but shutting God out whenever he doesn't want God's way and God's will. So the woman said to him, how Saul put out the mediums and so forth, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you. Verse 11, then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? He said, bring up Samuel. And now what happens is surreal. I don't know whether I've ever used that word before, but it sure fits here. This is very surreal. Listen. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, why have you deceived me? She now recognizes him. You are Saul. The king said to her, don't be afraid. What do you see? The woman said to Saul, I see a God coming up out of the earth. He said to her, what is his appearance? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he's wrapped in a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Saul answered, I'm in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me, and he's not answering my prayers by prophets or dreams. Therefore I summoned you to tell me what I should do. And Samuel said, why then do you ask, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? And now Samuel goes on and predicts the fact, and this is in verse 19, that the Philistines are going to come against you, and tomorrow you and your son shall be with me. That is to say, they'll be in the grave. The Lord will give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. And Saul falls down, terrified. And the prediction is fulfilled. What do we do with this passage? I never thought I would preach on it, but since I'm preaching about mediums, I decided since this is in God's Word, we have to look at what's happening here and what the lessons are that we should take home with us as a result of reading it. Some people have looked at this and they've said, you know, there's just no way that Samuel could have come up. Because after all, there's Samuel, he's with God, he's enjoying God's presence, and now you're telling me that this woman had the ability to bring up one of God's choice servants from the dead. Impossible. So what they've said is this was all demonic. That God gave Satan the ability to have this apparition that it looked like Samuel, but it wasn't really Samuel at all. And that's one possibility that commentators have suggested. But there's another possibility, and that is that it was indeed Samuel, and that's the one I take for a couple of reasons. First of all, when you read this account, you find time and time again it is Samuel who is speaking to Saul, Saul speaking to Samuel, and you get no hint here that this is just some kind of a demonic apparition. Furthermore, the devil would have never predicted what Samuel predicted, because the prediction is that you shall die tomorrow, and the devil is never that accurate and that specific in his predictions. And he certainly would not have given given Saul a tongue lashing for leaving the living God. So I think that this was an incredible miracle. One pastor put it this way: are you telling me an old hag at Endor can raise up one of God's choice servants and bring him back from the dead? And the answer to that question is, of course, no. All the demons in hell put together could not do that. I think God intervened and did his own miracle. And is saying to Saul, Saul, because you are a fool, and by the way, Saul admitted that, he says, because you are so foolish and you are asking for Samuel, Samuel you shall get. But he's going to give you a message that you certainly don't want to hear, and it will be one more basis by which I can judge you. If there's any hope of repentance and submission, this is it. This is the closing call. After this, you die. What do you think God thought of Saul doing this? Was this something we can interpret and say, well, you know, it didn't turn out too badly. I mean, look at the fact that this miracle happened. You know, there's a divine commentary on this, and it is found actually in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Listen to what the Bible says. So Saul died for his breach of faith. He broke faith with the Lord in that he did not keep the command of the Lord, and also consulted a medium seeking guidance. He did not seek guidance from the Lord, therefore the Lord put him to death and gave the kingdom to David. What does God think of consulting a medium or a channeler, as they are called today? What you find in the Old Testament is God is repeatedly saying, and he says this in Leviticus, if you go to a medium or you go to what we call today a channeler, I will turn my face against you. Think of the word there in chapter 18, verse 16. Have you ever heard something so terrible? Where Samuel is speaking and he's saying to Saul, Saul, God has become your enemy. You get into the occult. You seek hidden knowledge from other sources, and God becomes your enemy. What a sad state of affairs. Now I want to talk to you in a more contemporary way about going to mediums and calling up the dead, the channelers. There used to be a show on television, I don't know if it still is, where they used to have people come in whose loved one died, and then this channeler would connect with spirits, and eventually, and then the person would say, yeah, indeed, that is my uncle. You know, that's just like him. And then they'd go on to somebody else. What's happening there? What is happening there is this. These channelers have what we call a familiar spirit, who is familiar with the person who was alive, and therefore it is a demonic spirit impersonating the dead. Let me give you a good example. Back in 1966, Bishop Pike, who was an Episcopalian bishop, his son committed suicide. As a result of that, there was a poltergeist in their home. Pike would come home and the curtains were pulled exactly the way in which his son wanted them. His boy's books would always be rearranged in accordance with the way in which the boy liked them. The clothes were being moved in the closet, etc. And Pike said to himself, I think my son wants to connect with me. So, you know the story. Pike went to a medium. Years ago, I would never buy the book, but years ago, because of some research I was doing, I went into a library and I bought Pike's book. I should say I read Pike's book entitled The Other Side, and there he documents his experience. And you've heard me tell before how that when he was connecting with the boy, he said to him things like, do you ever hear about Jesus on the other side? That's a good question, but the boy said, no, Dad, we don't hear much about Jesus on the other side. From my heart to yours today, if you die and you're in a place where you don't hear a lot about Jesus, you are in deep, eternal trouble. But Pike was deceived. Oh, it's true, the medium knew things about the boy that only some supernatural agency could know it. There are mediums, channelers, who do connect with the spirit world, and they connect with people who, spirits that knew those people, and people are totally, completely deceived. Yesterday, I happened to just open my Bible. I was going to read Isaiah chapter 28, and I was reading some verses where it says that there are people who take refuge behind lies. Wow. What's going on in these things? What is it that Satan's great desire is? And some of the books that we read about today about people even going to heaven, some may be legitimate, some illegitimate, but what is the devil's agenda? It's very clear. He wants this generation to believe that it's possible to die without faith in Jesus Christ and have a very happy experience after death. There's no judgment. You can enjoy the other side without believing in Jesus. Pike was a liberal bishop who denied the virgin birth. He denied the Trinity. He denied the fact that Jesus died for sinners. He denied it all, but after that, he wasn't afraid of death because he had connected with the other side. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and today's message is a very serious and necessary message for this generation, because there is so much occultism, and people don't realize it is occultism. They think to themselves that if they watch a show where somebody is connecting with the dead, that it's actually happening. Well, if you've been listening to this message, you know that it has not been happening. There are deceitful spirits who actually know people, and as a result, they communicate information that may appear to be inside information, but it is deceptive. What we must do in this present generation is to make sure that our faith is rooted in the Scriptures alone. These kinds of experiences, whether near-death experiences or others, are very, very deceptive, and we can't depend upon them. Well, I hope that you stay tuned next time as we continue this message. Meanwhile, from my heart to yours, you have a good day.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. You've heard Erwin Lutzer introducing Knowledge from the Dark Side, the third message in an 8-part series on the invisible world. In a moment, I'll have a word for you about the Monday edition of Running to Win. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal.
Well, there is an invisible world. It's the world of God and angels and demons and heaven and hell. And it's the world that we're going to be exploring in this series of messages. What we're going to do is to actually look into the Scriptures and see people who encountered the invisible world and what they learned as a result of it.
Erwin Lutzer opens a door to the unseen, a door which shows us the conflict between light and darkness.
Knowledge from the dark side. People are seeking for hidden knowledge. The way in which most people get into the occult is through divination.
The dark side offers more than knowledge. It offers power.
Today I'm going to be speaking on charms and ceremonies and sorcery and rituals and curses and all of those things that exist in the spirit world that people in one way or another are connected to.
But the invisible world also guarantees a wonderful future for believers who suffer while on earth.
There is no comparison in the world to come. The invisible world in which we shall have an eternal weight of glory.
The Invisible World, 8 eye-opening messages by Erwin Lutzer, will be sent on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. Many people tell of near-death experiences and the wonderful heaven that awaits us all. Monday, more about the dark side and its deceiving tactics. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.